This is Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. If you look closely at local governments in the San Joaquin Valley, you'll find a handful of city council members in their early 20s. One even ran, and one as a 19-year-old. In the studio this week, moderator Kathleen Schock spoke with three of these local city council members, Joel Hurtado of Kingsburg, Brian Osorio of Delano, and Esmeralda Hurtado of Sanger, about why they chose to run at such a young age and the challenges they face now that they're in office.
I want to get into your experience campaigning, your experience actually in office in a minute. But before we get there, I think the burning question people have is, why would someone so young, so early in their career, be interested in public service? You know, you're all at ages where people are typically focused on school and starting jobs and hanging out with friends. So I'd like each of you to just give us a quick overview of how you got to where you are today. And Jewel, let's go ahead and start with you.
When I was 17, I really just started getting involved by starting registering to vote, you know, registering people to vote. And after that, it just kind of went pretty quickly. It became almost addicting. I loved just serving others and understanding how I could fit in, right? Fit into that, you know, category. So I served on a community services commission, which is a commission that the city council has. And I just really started digging in. I was pregnant at the time. After I had my baby, I started doing more community organizing with different groups and people and friends and interning. And it was just so much fun, but also something I knew I wanted to commit my life to. But then also I had my baby. So it changes things. You know, it changes your outlook on the future and what you want your community to look like for your children and for my family. So I ran for council because I didn't want to let anybody else make those decisions for me or for my son. And so now here I am.
Great. Brian, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. You know, you just graduated from UC Berkeley. What brought you back to Delano?
I've always wanted to come back to Delano. When I left in 2014 to college, I was always thinking about, you know, what can I do in Delano with what I will be studying? I studied political science and cognitive science. And following the 2016 election, I saw like even a greater urgency to use whatever knowledge and skill sets I had developed in college to give back to my community in a productive and helpful way. And so I really got ingrained into this public service oriented life by being part of student government in Berkeley, but also providing Know Your Rights workshops as a college student. And so when I saw that there was an opportunity to get involved in Delano, I thought that it would be a great way to advocate for often people who are left out of conversations. And so I really took the opportunity and just went along with it.
That's great. Esmeralda, your path is a little different as well. Tell us how you got to where you are.
So I would say my passion for politics all began when I was about, I would say, 11 years old. You know, I have an older sister that's also in politics. And ever since I was like a teenager, she would take me out to register voters at a very young age, going canvassing, knocking door to door. And I think that from there, watching her do that and me being involved in that process, really, that's where kind of the light bulb went on, like where I noticed that, you know, there is work that needs to be done in our communities, and that there's people who have voices but are not necessarily heard all the time. So I think that that's what ignited my passion to run for city council in the city of Sanger.
Great. And just to be clear, you went through a different process in terms of taking your seat than the other two guests today.
Correct. So I was appointed in January of 2019. So it was a process where we were appointed by the current council, and the process was basically the application was open for people to from District 1. So there was a vacant seat, and that used to be, you know, my sister Melissa Hurtado. She was there in District 1, and that seat became vacant. So it became open to anybody who lived in that district to apply and run for that seat. So it was an interview process. So there's about 5 to 6 applicants, including myself. And so we went up to a meeting and we presented ourselves and, you know, talked about you know, how we're qualified for the position and, you know, what we do in the community and what we want to see and what we would work on to improve our community.
And you were selected 3-1, correct?
Correct.
That's amazing. So. That's astounding. So, Jewel and Brian, you both went through the election process. I'm wondering if you could talk to what that experience was like and perhaps if your experience was different given your age and being a person of color. Brian, let's start with you.
I'll address the age and person of color aspect. I would say it definitely affected me in terms of age, but did not affect me in terms of color. Delano is a predominantly Latina community, so there was not much of an issue with that. But there was an issue with the age, given that I ran at 22. And the main question was, there was two main questions. One is, why would you want to do this so young? And two, what experience do you bring as a 22-year-old? And those were sometimes questions meant to, like, invalidate my candidacy in the election, but it was also learning opportunities that I could provide them with.
And how did you address this question of experience?
Yeah, so in terms of experience, I would, one, make it about myself before making it about the council. I would say, I've been doing this in student government for the past 2 years, and not only do I bring experience, but I bring ideas that would implement more inclusive policies and more progressive policies that will make people who aren't often heard, such as immigrants, LGBTQ, and senior residents, bringing them to the table, because oftentimes we do like this general approach to policymaking, and that's what's been neglecting certain parts of the community in Delano. But two, I would also mention, most of your council never did politics before city council, and so I'm not any different from them. It just, I'm trying to get involved earlier.
Great. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Valley Edition. We're talking to three elected officials who are serving on city councils throughout the Valley, all of whom are in their 20s. Jewel, tell us about your experience in Kingsburg. I understand you ran against an incumbent candidate, correct?
I did, and against against a young man. So, who was not a person of color. So, to address the question of my age and my color, it played a huge role, I think, in people deciding if they wanted to vote for me or not. I was constantly asked the question of, just like Brian, why would you want to do this? But at the time, I was 19. So, I also walked up to their door with a baby on my hip, or in the stroller, or in a carrier, and I haven't finished college yet. I'm still in college. And so, I think they were just kind of like, I think they thought it was a joke. I think they thought maybe I was just being funny or cute, but I was very serious. And I was constantly asked, why are you doing this? And probably not going to vote for you. Like, it's just probably not going to happen. And I would always say, and I talk about this all the time, but just give me 5 minutes and let me just share with you my vision. Because in Kingsburg, it's a small town. We're a Swedish village and we stick true to our values, and we're a very small community. And I think that when change comes, sometimes it can be scary for people. But just trying to make them understand that I'm just a neighbor and I just wanted to better our area, because we're in districts now. So it's focused on a particular part of town that I know very well because I grew up there. And so to also bring my baby into the picture and say, like, hey, this is my son. This is why I do what I do. Also, I think it brings maturity to the game, because a lot of residents could see, like, okay, yeah, she's 19. Yeah, she just got out of high school. Yeah, she's in community college. And her experience is maybe only serving on the commission. But she has that baby. And I think a lot of people know that you grow up really quick when you have a baby.
Absolutely.
So, and then the person of color aspect, it was just different for people to see.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. So, Esmeralda, shortly after being sworn in, you were right there on the council making decisions. Can you speak to what the last few months have been like on the council? How's it going?
So I remember that meeting very clearly. It was one of the most difficult council meetings I've ever had, just because it was very crowded. There were a lot of concerned citizens. And I was really proud to be on that council sitting there, because luckily I had the experience, with You know, knowing the Brown Act, I was familiar with that. So that also gave me a boost, and that made me more confident in being able to participate in that meeting right away after my swearing in. So yeah, there's been very difficult and challenging issues in our city coming up, from high density housing to other positive things like water infrastructure, you know, receiving money from the state, having new projects going on and moving forward rapidly in our city. You know, that's really nice to see, and having a council that's really moving things forward for our city.
Brian, I'm curious, from your perspective, what challenges have you encountered since taking office?
There's a huge intergenerational difference in terms of how we value certain votes and certain communities. I think so far, three of the biggest struggles I've had is bringing up police accountability, bringing up separation of church and state, and bringing up how we can do more as a local government to uplift and protect our undocumented community within the city limits. And so I mentioned those three because whenever you bring up police accountability, there's a defense mechanism that goes on within some individuals. I would say a majority of the people who are within council, but also who are considered community leaders. And so there's that roadblock for separation of church and state. There's a huge Christian presence. I say Christian presence because they're the ones who are the ones that get most upset when I say that we need a separation of church and state, rather than, you know, paving the way for more In God We Trust decals and just constructs within city limits.
Yeah, fascinating.
And three,
issues. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and three was, you know, I tried to extend SB 54, the California Values Act, which declared California a sanctuary state, to Delano. It took a while, but it passed. But I had a lot of concerns about, you know, we're just going to bring more crime to the city. Like, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. We're going to have to pay for this. And it's just misconceptions rooted in, you know, some racism and also just exclusiveness. And it's interesting given that more than a third of Delano's community is considered foreign-born, and that's not even considering an accurate estimate of undocumented people in Delano.
That's fascinating. And it really speaks to the seriousness of the issues that you are all encountering on a regular basis in terms of shaping the futures of your community. Jewel, as a younger person, a younger adult, what is the unique perspective you feel you bring to your position?
Yeah, you're right. A lot of the council members that are up there with me are, I mean, one of them was my principal in eighth grade. So to sit there with her and the other people on board, you know, our mayor has a very youthful energy. She's the reason I got started on a local level in the first place. And so the perspective, I guess, that I bring is just entirely different. I was telling my friend Alex in the car that sometimes they use just like older terms. It's not even like a big word. It's just older person's terms, I guess, is the right way to put it. And I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. I know what issue we're talking about, but you're bringing like almost like an older person language in here. And I'm 20. So let me bring 20-year-old language in here. Like, it's super funny, like trying to find a balance. But we work really well together. And the perspective I guess I bring is just remembering the kids, remembering the young people, because I think a lot of times they're just focused on an adult crowd. And for me to say like, okay, well, what about this that the kids would really want, you know, and things like that.
So. Absolutely. So we just have a minute before we wrap up. Esmeralda, what advice would you have for somebody who's in their 20s, maybe listening to this conversation and thinking, I would like to step up and serve?
I think the key is to not be afraid to take on a role in your community. Do not be afraid to get out of your shell. Volunteer, get out, do some community service, be involved. It all begins, you know, in your school. Get involved with clubs. When you're in college, get involved with student government. If poli-sci is your passion, just be involved. That would be the key to opening up a world that has a lot of great things and opportunities to offer. So I'd say don't be afraid, because you never know what opportunities will be out there for you.
Great. Well, thank you all for being with us today. We look forward to seeing what all of your futures hold.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.